the messages on screen to written audio that after evaporation becomes available. This station will now stream on to the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes. Cameron,
take 25.
Was that better than the first time we did this, or is that...
It does.
It was better. Okay, now. Fantastic. This is the second time we've done this, but I digress. Here we
Not the whole thing.
Yeah, no. Guys, today, it's really exciting. We have somebody in the studio with us. This is only the second time
You've already announced him.
I know. This is only the second time this has ever happened, and we're excited. We have Tyler. Do you want me to say your last name, or do you want me to keep it secret?
I don't care.
In the prepping community are weird about saying their last names.
Then no.
Okay, this is just Tyler.
Yeah, I don't know what that. Yeah.
We'll give you his Instagram handle.
That's right.
at @Uinta_Hunter.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Tyler was a big part of a film that we've been talking about. Cam and I have been talking about for the past few weeks.
Yeah. Probably 2 months or something.
Yeah, it's called The Rookie. It just came out a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about hunting. And we're going to talk about Cam's experience as a really...
Everybody wants to know my experience.
Yeah, as a really novice hunter. And then...
As an idiot. That's what you're trying to say.
As an idiot hunter. So that's what we're going to do today. But first, guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional-grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with our code, CasualPreppers, at TacPack.com. And join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with our code, CasualPreppers, at TacPack.com. And have you heard of TacPack before?
We're satisfied.
You have.
We're one of those thousands.
We're
satisfied.
So satisfied. Like we couldn't be any more satisfied with TacPack. So go check them out, guys. Use our code CASUALPREPPERS. You're going to get some good stuff for super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tyler, thank you for being here.
Happy to be here.
Like we said, we don't usually bring in guests because it's...
Yeah, consider yourself lucky.
Cam, I want to know who the first guest was.
Guest was actually my brother-in-law.
Oh.
Yeah, we talked about self-defense. And we couldn't beat up like a 10-year-old girl, so we had to bring in somebody that has some chops in fighting.
Yeah, seriously.
And so that's why we did that. And so today, neither of us could hunt anything if we wanted to, so we had to bring somebody.
I definitely could not.
No. I think
you've
now...
You've proven otherwise.
Yeah, you have proven otherwise.
Barely.
Yeah. I know.
So,
we'll talk about it, but your elk is special.
It is. I did find a unique one out in the...
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that for sure. Cameron, so this film, The Rookie, talk to us about why you said, I'll do this, what it was.
Well, I think hunting's a big part of being a survivalist, a prepper,
a survivalist.
I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I can kill birds, pheasants, average-sized chickens and things like that.
I can see you running around chasing a chicken on the farm. Yeah,
turkeys. Yeah, but I've never hunted large game. So I was like, I need to learn how to do it and understand what it's all about. And I also grew up in a family that didn't do that.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, honestly, for...
And it's not like we were anti-hunting, but my mom was kind of that way. She's always the one that would see him, you know, in camo or in orange, and she's like, oh, we're going to destroy everything.
Yeah.
She's never done it. She had a strong opinion that way.
Did she see the film yet?
She did. I showed
her. Okay, good. I just wondering how that went.
You know what her comment was at the very end of it?
Uh-oh.
Are you going to keep hunting?
That's awesome.
Wow.
We'll talk about that today, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in my day job, obviously, that's what I do. We produce films. Tyler does the same thing, and he's a hunter. Well, actually, why don't we talk about you, Tyler? This is a good point.
Yeah, who are you?
What are you doing in our podcast studio? So tell us about, you know, your hunting experience. Did you grow up this way or what the heck, you know?
Yeah, I grew up in a family that, you know, as long as I can remember, we've hunted. My dad, I wouldn't say is an avid, like a trophy hunter. He's definitely the kind of guy that he grew up in a family that I think they hunted to live, right? They talk about trips. He grew up in a small community, but... hook the tractor onto a trailer wagon and just drive up through the country and fill the trailer with, you know, deer meat and come back and they'd spend days bottling and preserving it. And that's how they lived. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I think growing up, he wasn't, you know, like a really passionate hunter, but he definitely exposed me to it. Mm-hmm. And I would say from a young age, I definitely like felt passionate about hunting. Something I enjoyed. And so, yeah, it's just something I've
So like when did you kill like your first big game animal?
Yeah, like I was 14 probably like 14, yeah. I killed my first, well, actually probably a little younger than that.
You're what, 62 now?
Yeah, I'm confessing. Probably I was younger, too young to be. But no, I think I shot a cow elk with my dad's permit when I was like 11 or 12 or something, you know. But
that's not abnormal.
But yeah, that's and then, yeah, from there just I've been able to harvest a lot of animals over the years.
Yeah.
And we eat them and we enjoy it. And
yeah, like the whole process, right? It's not just like go kill and put the antlers on the wall. And
no, that's definitely a fun part of it. It's
yeah,
fun to be able to look at a memory of an animal that you harvested and kind of honor that animal in different ways, which people maybe don't understand.
No.
But, yeah.
You know, there's definitely nothing wrong with taking an old, mature male animal out of the herd.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. So.
Your voice sounds really nice on here.
It does sound good.
It's like the gold mic.
Sultry.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Man. So this film, so what were we hunting? Like what was the plan? What were we going to do? Well, you know,
we were going to kill an animal.
We were going to kill an animal. We were
an elk. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were going to harvest an elk. And we were kind of lucky that we were able to do.
We were really lucky. After I saw your first video, I'm like, thank goodness.
Yeah. Tyler and I
put me through that.
Tyler and I did a hunt earlier this year, in the Book Cliffs roadless area. And it was fun, you know, like it was,
you can still say that now.
No, it really was. It was one of those things that I, you know, it's fun looking back on it. At the time it was rough, but we did a lot of hiking and a lot of packing meat out and that kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This one was a little bit different, right? I mean, it was a little bit more unique of a hunt than most people get.
Yeah.
So going into this, Cam, what were you, I mean, we talk about this a little bit in the film, but like, what were you like worried about? You know,
I was just
mean?
Worried about looking like a complete moron.
Yeah. And luckily,
you know, I'm just like
the guy who edited it made you look just awesome.
He
right?
did. Yeah. Cause I think I shot behind my back, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just hard when you're learning a new thing and how the people that you're with are going to respond to you not knowing anything. And I was nervous about that. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And
yeah,
you know, I'm like, I don't know terminology and stuff like that. It's just with anything like that. I was worried about that, but it turned out way better than I, you know, had expected it to.
Yeah. No, I think it went really good, you know? So you going into it as a hunter who's done this for a long time, what were you worried about anything? Like with a guy that's only chased chickens around the farm, like what were you worried about as far as, you know what I mean?
Hopefully not firearm safety. At least I felt like I had that down.
Well, yeah, I think you did. Yeah.
Well,
you only had a few misfires with the bow and arrow.
Yeah.
We did have a few of those.
But those misfires were like boink.
Yeah, they were.
Straight in the ground.
Straight in the ground.
You're didn't.
No, I think my worries are, is that what you asked? My worries?
Yeah, I had shot a bow a little bit.
You had a bow for a little while. And so that was
I have just shot targets.
The plan was to try and harvest with a bow.
Yeah, that was the original.
Yeah, so yeah, for you going into it, were you worried about anything, or was it more just like, how do I make this, you know?
Yeah, I think the only worry I had is just, you know, trying to create a good experience.
Yeah.
And the reason why that is, you know, kind of like Cam described, a lot of people have a weird perception of people that hunt. Even I do, of certain people that hunt. You know?
Sure, yeah.
You know, there's definitely some negative perceptions out there. Some rightfully so, and some totally wrong. I think for Cam, having never hunted before, I just wanted to make sure that he had a good experience and that he got to see some of the good reasons why people hunt. That was really the only worry.
Yeah, yeah. And so we've talked about this a little bit, but like why specifically did you want to learn how to hunt? Like, is it just so that in a long-term SHTF scenario,
well,
you're like
that
the
was
man?
A big part is learning how to, you know, be able to find meat and food and everything for my family. But I also wanted to experience what hunters experience. I didn't know what it was like. I was like, you just sit in a, you know, in a blind for 5 days straight. And I didn't know. And so I wanted to learn what everything that it entailed so that I knew what things to have, you know, what gear was best and how to even use that gear. We've talked about that a lot about, if you don't use the stuff that you have, like you're probably dangerous with it, or you're gonna
or you
hurt
have no
yourself
idea what you're doing.
And I was like, I need to know, and how do I prepare for anything like that if I've never done it? I couldn't talk about it.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, how do you learn how to do this? It's hard to just say, oh, I'm going to go watch like a YouTube video. I'm going to learn how to hunt.
Yeah. Hunting is 200% something that has to be done and experienced. There's no way.
Uh-huh. Well, there's power surge. We're all right. Don't worry about it.
Something just came off of me. Yeah. Caused the lights to come lightning. On. Mm. But yeah, no, that is a skill that has to be experienced firsthand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for you, Tyler, have you ever thought of this, like hunting? Have you ever thought of it as a survival skill? Like, crossed your mind that way?
Yeah, no. I mean, one of the reasons I still enjoy hunting, especially with my boys and my family, is because I think you're kind of passing on to them some skills that are somewhat lost in our society, right?
Completely agree.
First of all, the fact that in order for us to eat, a lot of times something has to die.
Yeah.
Right? That's something that a lot of people don't remember. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's a cold, hard truth. You know, if you're going to eat a hamburger from McDonald's or wherever, something died to feed you. And so there's a disconnect. And I think for me, once again, some people might perceive this differently, but for me, it's kind of nice to know that if I'm eating a piece of meat, it's something that I put the work in and the care in to put in my own freezer and to cook it.
Yeah, it almost tastes better, doesn't it? Like,
there's a different,
I mean, it's a mental thing.
Flavor. Yeah,
there's it's a mental thing, I think, but like, it's almost like, man, you know how hard you work to get this.
Yeah.
I tell you, that first steak I ate from that hunt that we did this last year, it tasted like
mixed
glory.
Tears,
yeah, right. It's sweat and tears and blood and oh man, like it was so good. It's a different experience to eat that meat that you've harvested yourself, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know? Like I said, with my boys, I mean, I want them to respect the animal that they just killed. Once again, a little bit ironic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But respect it and use as much of it as they can and learn how to process it correctly, to take good care of it, to preserve the meat, to prepare it, to serve it, and that it can taste really, really good if you do it right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
It can taste phenomenal. So,
yeah. So, I mean,
I think it's nice to hear from somebody that's hunted their whole life. See, that still sounds crappy.
You're okay. Just keep going, bro.
Okay. If I sound crappy, I'm sorry. It's Kobe's fault. But yeah, the fact that you teach them to be like respectful of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I only thought hunters were just like trophy hunters, like they didn't care about the animal, and you know, and I'm not gonna get emotional here, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I think it was different, and it's, we talked in the film about feeling almost sad, but you're excited too, because you're like,
yeah,
I did this, and you know, I used pretty much everything I could. Even wanted to keep the coat, but I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't. Why didn't you?
I don't know, because I'm a murderer.
Yeah, you are, aren't you? Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was a really cool experience, and the film is really cool because it kind of goes from, like, it really starts before we even had the tag, all the way through till the barbecue we had after we got the meat back. You know? So I think it's kind of cool that it shows that whole process. And
for sure,
and you get to see really Cam's experience and how what he kind of learned. But I mean, speaking of that, like for you, what did you feel like you got out of that whole experience, other than obviously kind of learning some of those skills? You know,
I think I learned it that I am not in shape to be a hunter, which is super surprising. You know, it's just like
I'm so surprised because you look like you're so in shape.
No, I mean, not that's what I'm saying. Just the fact of like. It wasn't even as grueling of a hunt that most of you guys go on. And, but just the trying to be quiet and the body mechanics, just walking hunched over is like the most awful feeling in the world.
Yeah, it
like,
is kind of weird, some of the things.
So I was like, we talk about being in shape for, you know, as a prepper and survivalist, but to go hunt is a whole different thing. Like,
it is.
There's no way I could do it.
Well, and not like, not to like burst his bubble or anything, but we literally probably exposed him to 4 or 5% of the physicality.
That's why, and I knew that.
You know, so yeah. I mean, yeah, and that's actually one of the nice things about hunting is you can to a certain degree customize the experience to somebody's skill set or their physical ability. You know, a lot of those things, and that's part of what Kobe and I experienced last fall in the booklist is just on the physicality scale, like 9 or 10, like way up there.
Yeah,
and some people enjoy that part of hunting too, which I do. So maybe we'll expose you.
Yeah, and a couple of hunters I've talked to, that's the thing that they like. Because I was like, man, dragging the animal off the mountain would be
so
hard.
It sounds hard. Like I thought, like in my head, I'm like, oh, that's not going to be very fun. Like that's going to be hard. And then when you experience it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is insane. No, that's another part that
I do probably.
You know what I mean?
Need to be.
Yeah, I think you should. I think everybody should experience that once because holy.
But that makes it, that changes my whole mind too. Even with the 0.5% of hunt experience that I went through, just the fact of. If the hunters are going up and doing that, like obviously they're not doing it just to kill an animal because it's such a there's so much work involved in it. I was just like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing to me is learning that. And that I'm like, they're doing it for a reason. Like they love it. They're passionate about it. And obviously you have to be really fit for it. So it was kind of, that was one thing that I learned a lot about it.
Absolutely.
It's not just, a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it really isn't. So you talked about this a little bit just barely, but misconceptions about hunters. Mm-hmm. So what do you think are like the biggest misconceptions about hunters like today, like in the media? What with this film were you trying to at least get into Cam's head a little bit and to the viewer?
I think there's a perception. Mostly from those who are a little uneducated, but there's a perception that, a hunter is just a blood hungry individual that just likes to kill.
Sure.
And has no regard for the well being of the animal or the species. I think those are the biggest misconceptions, the other thing is just like the conservation element of hunting. Mm-hmm. And that, once again, unless you educate yourself, that sounds like really ironic. You're out there killing animals, yet you're actually, hunters are the biggest contributors to conservation of all species. The funds that are generated through hunting permits and firearm sales, through taxes and bullet sales, is by far the biggest contributor to the long-term sustainability of
species. Yeah, and it just seems like those two things don't jive. Mix, right? Yeah. Like, why? How is that even possible?
Unless you educate yourself,
Yeah.
I mean, just think of simple scenarios. Here in Utah, biologists that work for the Fish and Game Department, they have areas that they study. They clearly define when a population is overpopulated, a population of elk, and doesn't take somebody that's really brilliant to think what happens when a species becomes overpopulated. They die a horrible death. Not enough food for them.
Slow death.
Habitat. So hunters in that situation can come in and obviously help to fund long-term sustainable populations and use the funds from permits and bullet sales and gun sales and all those things to help fund, the people that work to protect the species. So a lot of people that don't, if you're not educated about the topic, they just don't think about those kinds of things. Whether it's even hunting a lion in Africa, for instance, there's a lot of controversy around those types of scenarios, but there's misconceptions there.
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, did you kind of learn some of those things throughout this process?
It's never something I thought about before.
Yeah.
Now I do.
You mentioned even in the film, like the way that Tyler was even just talking about the animal was like something that you didn't expect.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nuh-uh.
And I thought that was kind of an interesting, aspect of that.
Use words like cute, furry.
Furry. And
did I really use the word cute?
No, I'm just saying he was just respectful about the whole thing. I mean, it's a part of, like you said, it plays a bigger part than just
you
getting the animal for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I weeded out some of the genetically deformed ones with mine.
Yeah, like Cam shot a deformed animal, basically, is what happened.
It didn't look deformed when I killed it.
No, it looked like majestic.
It did.
I could actually tell it was deformed. I just didn't want to.
Did you?
Yeah. He's like,
no, I'm just kidding.
He's leading you towards that one.
Yeah. See that one that can't look at
us? After several days of hunting, stuck. Cam can only connect with one. He only has one leg, right?
It's so true.
When I got up close to an elk, I had no idea that it had a horn coming right out of its forehead and one eye down.
Didn't make no sense.
I didn't know up that close they looked like.
It looks fantastic, though. The mount looks really good.
Yeah, it has a weird spine.
It does have a weird spine, but
it didn't look like it.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, we actually didn't know.
We had no idea, but it looks great.
The taxidermist was like, did it have its head kinked like this? I'm like, no, why?
No.
Oh, no reason. Here.
Let me stop real quick, guys. I want to talk about Survivaguard. Survivaguard is the ultimate vitamin formula for emergency preparedness, survival, and life. you will have confidence in the knowledge that you're getting 100% of all 13 essential vitamins, 8 essential minerals, and 11 super antioxidants, healthy omega-3 fish oils, and a unique proprietary NutriPrep blend for physical and mental emergency preparedness. Do you know what all those things are, Cameron?
I do.
You do. You know all those words.
Every single one.
We are confident you will experience a better overall sense of well-being, more energy with enhanced alertness, and increased ability to concentrate with greater endurance, and you will be best prepared physically and emotionally for whatever situations you face, no matter how extreme. Use our code Casual Preppers. You guys are going to get 20% off when you order at SurvivalGuard.com. 20% off. That's a ridiculous deal. And long-term shelf life vitamins.
I should pop a bunch of these for the next time.
You really should.
I bet it.
Yeah.
Make me way better.
You're going to be such a better hunter. So speaking of that hunt, we ended up, it was kind of cool because we were able to do two types of hunts in one, right?
Yeah.
We had a, what was the new tag called that he was able to get?
Yeah, it's a multi-season tag. It allows the hunter to pay basically a premium price. You basically pay the price of three tags, and then you can hunt with three different weapons during three different seasons.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So basically, you know, for those who are not familiar, in Utah, there's a specific...
How new is that?
It's just this last past year, in 2018.
My father-in-law was asking, I'm like, I don't know what tag like, I got.
Oh, I don't know. Did I even get a tag?
Because all the ones he was mentioning, I'm like, I don't know. I didn't get that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a general tag, which means anybody can go buy it over the counter, as long as you've had a hunter safety class, but it allows you to hunt with the archery equipment during the archery season, typically from the middle of August to the first part of September. And then you can hunt with a rifle during the rifle season, which is typically the first week or so of October. And then also follow up later with a muzzleloader later in the year if you haven't been able to harvest an animal yet.
That was really cool that
Is this like a West Coast or is it the state?
I think
only?
It's just Utah,
just
right?
Just Utah.
So every state has their own.
And even within Utah, there's only specific locations where you can use it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. So we started out, obviously, with archery. And that was... That was the goal, right?
It was.
I mean, that was the goal
I wanted
hopefully
to get
harvest with a bow. So how did you feel about like that experience, like the archery hunt itself?
Oh, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was different because I didn't realize how close you had to be. You know,
yeah, like, so like when we were practicing, well, when you were practicing and I had a camera, I wasn't practicing. So you kind of had a range that you were trying to get comfortable at. So where were you at in those range? Like, where were you, like, what was your goal?
Like, you know, 40.
Like 40 yards?
I think so.
Yeah.
50, 40. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I shot quite a bit at 60, but...
That just didn't seem, yeah.
No, it seemed pretty far, and I wasn't as comfortable with that. Like, I was really comfortable with 20.
Yeah,
and I
was
Well, I mean, to say, that's honestly, for a guy that has not shot a bow a lot, that's good range. I mean, like we talked about, an elk, in the time that an arrow is released and flies 50 yards, if an elk takes one step, your target range just moved 12 to 24 inches.
So I could see that.
You can shoot a perfect shot, and
and
if an elk jumps your bowstring, you can hit it right in the butt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's you can be a perfect shot.
I could totally tell.
And that's what you were so scared of that.
I was. I was like, I don't want to put it right in its spine or something. Or wing it and then have to chase it down. And I was nervous. I was going to just make a nightmare of the whole thing.
So obviously it was tough because it was your first hunt. But it was even tougher because you had me following you guys around with a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, explain or, you know, talk about those challenges of three of us out there trying to get that close to an elk. Either of you guys, I don't care who you want to talk.
Yeah, no, I don't know. You were noisy and it was really distracting.
I know.
No, but that's the part I liked about that. And, you know, we hadn't really talked about some of the skills.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, the fitness thing, but I remember thinking of how useful, like, an animal has the incredible senses. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're to learn how to sneak up on an animal like that, like, it's going to get you a lot further in terms of, like, if you're in this really bad situation where you're trying to get out, you know, and get into safety or, like, the stealth and you know, paying attention to wind direction and all that was, was just like...
And that was all pretty new
to you. Those were awesome to, like, talk about and learn.
Yeah,
yeah, those were all new to me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just for context, too, I mean, just a little more to elaborate on what Cam's saying. The senses that an animal has, obviously primarily sight, hearing, smell. Elk rely a lot on their nose, which would surprise you. but they're smart. They're really smart, and they've been hunted for years. And so you've got this herd of animals, depending on the day, was anywhere from 30 or 40 to 100 probably. Yeah. And they work together to protect each other, obviously. And so you've got 100 noses out there. They're smart enough to know that at certain times of day, they've got to travel into the wind so mm-hmm. they can smell what's in front of them. And they can smell amazingly well. You know, they can see relatively well. But these elk were traveling into the wind, the elk we were trying to hunt in the morning. And it makes it tough. It makes it really tough because you're kind of trying to parallel them as they're getting out of the property we're hunting and ambush them. But if you can't really ambush something if you can't get in front of it because it'll smell you.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So,
anyways, just a few of the contextual challenges of trying to hunt an elk with a bow.
And I've read, you know, books about soldiers, World War II and stuff, and a lot of those, like, really successful soldiers had background of hunting, and I can totally see how those go together, like, to be able to be stealthy and smart, and, like, I think you would succeed a lot more. Not saying you're going to go ambush people in the middle of... you know, but if you were in that scenario that, like, you had to be careful with somebody that was... you know, aggressive, or maybe you were on the offensive,
like at Walmart?
Your skill. Yeah.
Are you talking like Walmart?
I'm talking about like middle of riots.
Black.
How to get
Friday.
Where
Walmart.
To get your advantage. Yeah. Okay. Well, the wind's blowing right into the front doors. We're going to come in the back.
Vizio flat screens are over here. If I make a
I smell like bacon
motion.
Today, I probably need to wrap around.
Everybody over there is wearing camo. They got skills, I can tell. Everybody's wearing camo in Walmart, I swear.
Here in Vernal, they are.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. And I think there was even though we were hunting some ground that you knew really well, we had ground right next to it that we couldn't hunt. So it made it even more difficult because we had to catch them before they got over there. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, there was a lot of difficulty in that, archery hunt, but he got you a good shot on a nice elk.
I had a good shot.
Right. And you see that in the film.
Yeah.
Really good shot.
You do.
And so,
don't smile.
I'm
about
not
it.
Smiling. I'm just happy that we're here talking about
it. It still hurts.
It does hurt. So talk about that experience where you actually let an arrow fly. You know.
Yeah, I did.
So let's talk about it.
Why?
I don't
want to talk about it.
Well, that's why
we're
here.
We'd been watching this one bull, and he was beautiful.
He was gorgeous.
He was a good looking one. Mm-hmm. And I think Tyler had watched him a lot longer than that. Like you knew that this was a good one. And yeah, I mean, we had a perfect opportunity. It was a little further away than I was comfortable. And it kind of, that was another thing that came up was in between the pins, you know. Mm. I hadn't shot like that. And I was like 50. I got 40 and 60, but I don't got 50.
Yeah.
So I wasn't comfortable shooting, you know, in between the pins on my bow. And then everything came back to me of like Tyler saying, you know, you want to take that shot when you're comfortable. If you're not comfortable, don't take it. It's not worth it. And I was appreciative of that information because I probably could just let that sucker fly as soon as I saw it.
Yeah.
But as soon as, you know, I had him in view and I was drawn and fully drawn and ready, my level was off and I didn't feel comfortable. And as soon as I got that comfortable feeling, he started to move and I kind of just let off.
Yeah.
I'm glad it didn't hit him, but
yeah. And then the arrow just
went. It was disappointing, but at the same time, like that was what, day two?
Day two or three or something.
So
I don't
remember
exactly.
So we still got a few more days and I learned more stuff throughout. So I knew that was going to happen. So I decided not to kill it because I wanted
time. The experience in the film wasn't just about going and harvesting.
Ultimate goal of getting
the goal.
That wasn't the whole thing.
The goal was to get the experience.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that is what it
and
comes
so when
down
I,
to.
That was the first opportunity I had to really draw on an animal. And it changed.
Were you shaking?
It was completely different.
Was there adrenaline?
I wasn't really shaking, but everything was going through my mind.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all the targets that I'd shot. It's weird.
It's funny because
I
know a lot.
I thought about was like the distance wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah, hunters talk a lot about.
It was a great opportunity.
Target
but I just,
panic and stuff like that. I mean, have you ever had something like that? Like, have you ever felt that when you're out hunting?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like buck fever.
Yeah.
Just a big adrenaline rush. I don't really. It's different now. But as a young new hunter, there's times when you get like an uncontrollable shake. You know, you just can't even. No matter how hard you try, you can't hold steady and make a good shot. It happens.
So like,
it's kind of funny because right before he had that shot in the film, you see this bull's working up through the cedar trees following these cows.
And yeah.
I could tell it was going to likely come together, and he's bugling, you know, screaming his brains out. And you see Cam at one point just kind of duck his head.
What is that,
Dad? What were you feeling right there? It looked like you were really like kind of
I just couldn't believe how close and then like the sounds and everything of just like just being in it. I was just, that's why I was kind of I just put my head down like this is unreal.
It's
like,
insane. It's a weird feeling, isn't it, being out there?
It's exciting, but it's scary. Like you're like, this is it's gonna like, because it was my first time, you know. I was like, my heart started just beating because I'm like
it felt a lot
I'm gonna
like,
get a lot a like your honeymoon type this. Thing.
Yeah. Is that what it felt like?
I wasn't
like?
Even nervous then.
You weren't even nervous then.
Almost like felt right more in the nervous
thick of,
during.
I was right in the thick of it, and my heart was pounding.
Yeah. So
10 seconds later, it was over.
10 seconds later, we were on our way to the restaurant.
But yeah, like, no, it was
what?
But it was good.
It was good. Yeah. No, that I thought that was really cool because it's almost a little overwhelming. I mean, I felt that, like, just all the bugling and all those animals, and you're out there trying to get one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Really cool. And you even said something in the film that I thought was cool. You talk about, like, you almost...
I said a lot of things that were cool.
You said so much stuff that I had to cut. It wasn't even funny. But you said how you kind of felt like it was almost a callback to your ancestors. Like, they've been doing this for so long. And it almost felt like it was instinct a little bit, you know?
I stand by that, too.
Yeah.
I truly felt like that history is there. Like, you can feel that, mm-hmm. like, this is how your ancestors survived. And it just kind of came back. Like, you feel like, naturally, man, this is where you're supposed mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, what you, I don't know. It was a weird connection that I felt. So.
Yeah. No, I thought it was kind of cool, you know? So let's talk about post, you finally killed an animal, right?
Post-beginner hunter.
Yeah, no.
I'm totally a beginner.
We were finally able to harvest an elk,
yeah.
and you ended up doing it with a rifle,
yeah.
right? So mm-hmm. maybe talk about that experience real quick,
how that was. It changed. I mean, the whole dynamics of the hunt was different at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The distance and the, you know, how close you had to be, and I felt more confident with the rifle,
did
obviously.
You? Yeah.
I knew that you know, mm-hmm. if this thing is sighted in, like,
yeah.
I can shoot from a long ways away.
Oh, yeah.
And I've shot a lot more guns than I have bows, so the comfort level was a lot higher. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and just the way that you approach the animals and the distance that you can, you know, spot them and everything, it was all different. I'm not saying it's easy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's obviously easy. Still a hard thing to do, and I can imagine, like, up in the mountains and
yeah.
have you spent a week for that animal and that opportunity, it would have been way different. But yeah, that was, I felt more comfortable with that. I think mm-hmm. a rifle, I think you have to experience both, because I felt there was a lot more, and I shouldn't say that, but I don't know. I felt there was more skill with the bow hunt.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's it makes sense, but I didn't want to like downgrade yeah. regular yeah. hunters with a rifle.
It's definitely more, I don't know, intimate.
Right? Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
You have to,
and it was
right
with the bow
the
that I experienced that, like mm-hmm. being just surrounded by him. Yeah. I was like, holy crap.
This yeah.
It was just an amazing experience.
So talk about when you finally were able to pull the trigger. I mean, on your elk.
Tyler obviously knows how the animals move and where they're going to be. So
yeah, it's kind of cool in the film because like a lot of shots, you'll see Tyler like literally like grabbing you and just like moving you
yeah.
to like these different yeah. places. He's like, come on, over here, dude.
I think the next time I'm just going to get in a backpack. I'll just be on his back. He's like right here.
One of those ready. Leashes, you know,
just,
for those
I'll
kids.
Just turn around and say, shoot, now shoot.
Yeah. So, whoa.
Swing me around.
Oh, funny.
But yeah, he just kind of got me into position. He said, you know, get down, get ready right here.
Yeah.
And they were just coming across like a little embankment and mm-hmm. that one I you know, as I was like, as soon as the sucker comes into view, I'm firing.
Yeah.
Like, and it did, and I hit it probably a little in the back. I don't know where. We never found out where it hit.
Yeah, I think you hit it really well. Just a little back. The elk was moving, right?
Yeah.
He was moving forward.
And then but yeah, that happened a lot faster. Like, I didn't have mm-hmm. time to think as much.
Yeah.
Like I said, I felt more comfortable with the weapon at that point.
Yeah, and when that's a
and
big
I
thing.
Knew it was like,
yeah.
if my chance, if it presents itself, like I'm firing because
yeah.
I know how firearms work versus the bow.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wasn't, you didn't have to get the level all ready. And, but yeah, and And then, yeah, and the thing that was kind of funny to me is I'm like, there's a shot. Well, good job, everybody. You know, and you're like, keep firing, keep firing.
Yeah.
That was like, that was unexpected. And you know, it, I'm like, what was I thinking there? You know, yeah, that, you're just like, you're like, rack another one in. I'm like, what? I hit him.
Yeah.
So it's just different that way. And then, yeah, when I got that second kill and saw it stagger and fall, man, that was, I don't know, those things you can't explain. I really don't have the words to yeah. even explain that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I'm excited to take my sons out there and show them that. I didn't spend as much time, like, you know, you guys have been on bear hunts and everything, and I'm like, that's another thing that I really liked is the, I don't know, camaraderie, just like mm-hmm. yeah. talking, and it's just healthy. Like, I think it's yeah. just a good thing for people to do.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff about it. I mean, like, for you, Tyler, why do you hunt right now? Like, what is it that makes you keep going back each year in hunting, you know?
Yeah, for me, I'm at a stage in life where life's horribly busy.
Yeah.
Right? Chasing
yeah.
kids and work's demanding. And so for me, it's a chance every year, hopefully a couple times a year, to just mm-hmm. like reset mentally and actually physically, even if it's a really tough physical hunt. I like to reset that way, which is maybe weird, but
it is weird, but it is what it is.
So yeah, there's something really, really refreshing and kind of reformat your brain when yeah. you can spend a week in like the most rugged country you can possibly find mm-hmm. and look at the stars and stare at a campfire and look through your binoculars for hours on end. And
yeah.
And so I typically come away from those experiences like really like refreshed, ready to go back to the daily grind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably a big reason.
Yeah, because that grind every day, man, it'll get you. Like, and just it is weird when you go out, you're laying in your tent, you hear coyotes out there howling. It's like a weird, different feeling, you know. And it is kind of cool to be able to just like reset, get back to nature a little bit, and just reset, like you said, you know.
Yeah, with mine, we went out early in the morning before yeah. work, and it was super refreshing before work. Like,
yeah, you made your day was better after you were out there for 2 or 3 hours.
It's just,
you know?
Yeah, it's just amazing. So those things you don't stop and pay attention to, you know, yeah. you're just like thankful for the country we live in and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, for as a prepper, you know, for you, there's things too that are, I mean, just getting out, you know, throwing a backpack on and hiking, getting the fitness part of it, you know,
yeah.
Getting to know, you know, navigation and getting to know the outdoors, and those things are obviously good for preppers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good opportunity to use. You used a lot of gear when you went that you
yeah.
had accumulated absolutely. That you hadn't tested. So
yeah, so much gear like that
you You find out what works and what doesn't, and you know
yeah.
what's a waste of time to carry, and
yeah.
how to trim weight, I'm sure.
Yep. So, Cameron, after you killed that animal, the next part was a part I think that you were really actually interested in.
I was. And nervous about.
The post-kill, yeah.
Right.
So talk about that piece of it, both of you guys. You
know. Yeah, so skinning the animal was a whole different thing. And
because that's a big skill for like preppers, survivalists.
Yeah, like,
you know, do that type of thing.
You want to be able to harvest all the good stuff, you know, instead of just, you know, we'll just pull a leg off and cook that up tonight.
Yeah.
Well, first of all,
elk, I'm sure you need the guts.
Elk are like the size of a horse.
Yeah. Right?
So
yeah.
it's way overwhelming when you walk up.
Oh my gosh, it's
they're
so
just
overwhelming.
Big.
Like even swinging its head around for a picture, I was like, good freak.
Yeah.
This thing's massive.
Yeah. So how was it like going through that your first time, you know?
That part was really exciting to me. You know, I don't know if it's just the whole medicine aspect, you know.
Sure.
I've done cadavers and everything mm-hmm. and for a while I did animal science cuz I was wanting to go to vet school and so that part like I knew some about, but I was like, I want to go through this process cuz like this is where I feel like the exceeds, this is where it becomes like the most valuable.
Yeah.
To, you know, killing the animals, obviously like a huge skill, but I'm like, this is where it's like, I'm using this for survival. You know,
mm-hmm.
I need to know how to do this really yeah. well and not cut my fingers off. And
yeah.
And I don't know. So yeah, like that, it was a little nerve wracking. Cause I'm like, I'm going to cut into the, you know, into the guts and have it spray all over me.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we had showed him a video or something.
Yeah, that's
giving him
me
nightmares,
out.
Right?
Yeah,
we did show him one of those videos.
So yeah, no, just that skill. Well, that was pretty exciting, I thought, to learn how to skin it out in the field and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
The first animal I harvested by myself was a deer.
Yeah.
And my dad had kind of just posted me on a ridge and just said, we'll meet at X location at dark.
Yeah.
If you see a buck, shoot it, you know. And So I got that whole experience. I shot a buck all by myself when I was, you know, 13 or 14, and then had to figure out how to get over there and gut it. And needless to say, I did not do a good job. You know, the next morning, my dad had to come help. But yeah, it's really nice to have somebody, especially with an animal nearly the size of a horse, be there with you that's done it, because it takes a couple of guys to just roll the innards out, right?
Yeah.
It's quite a job. It takes, what, probably an hour, 45 minutes to get them cleaned out, ready to be moved.
And then, it was surprising how it really wasn't as extensive to dig that stuff out of there as I thought. I was like, you're going to have to go in and cut all these different things. And it's weird how it just kind of
rolls
out. If you know
the
locations to cut and how to, like, you showed me that. I was like, man, it actually comes out pretty good. I would have butchered it if I had no idea on that.
Yeah.
I'd just be chopping.
Yeah, for me, you know, I don't know how to even express this, but every time I clean an animal, I get the strange impression that the animals have been prepared and created in a way that
it seems
that they're,
like, I agree with
meant
you.
To be, you know, consumed. I don't know how else to say that, but like you just said it in a roundabout way, where pulling the guts out of a big old elk, 200 or 300 pounds of guts can be a fairly clean process.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know what to do.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel like, oh, that's amazing. How
it was. It was built. It's not easy, but it was a lot simpler if you just know how to do it.
Right. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. It's like it's already been saran wrapped and you just pull it out.
Yeah. Well, and then like the next part when you're actually, you know, cutting up the meat and getting it ready for the butcher and stuff. So talk about that piece of it too.
Yeah. And that's another thing, you know, just skinning the animal and separating, the hide or whatever, the coat. It's just like, it almost just is made to come off there. And, and then that alone, like, it seemed like you could just easily make something into it. Yeah. Like the blanket or rug or, you know, I'm like, yeah, these do. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say more about that. It's like,
I think
hard
the next step is he needs to make a pair of boxers out of elk hiders.
That's a really good idea, I think.
Because actually,
I saw some in Jackson Hole, actually.
No, you can't just go buy some. You gotta make your own.
That's a good idea.
But yeah, how useful an animal can be in so many different ways, like all the parts. You don't really get
just
to see that without cutting
all the meat you
and
got.
Seeing the meat is ridiculous. Like, I'm worried about going through it all before it gets tasting funny. You know,
there's a lot of meat to one of those animals, and it's insane, and it's so delicious. Oh my gosh, literally the best meat I've ever had.
Yeah, it's different. It's like really lean, and you can't cook it like you do hamburger.
No, you got to be. Yeah,
it's different. But I can tell it's a lot healthier meat. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously. So
what are your thoughts, Cameron, now on hunting as like an SHDF type skill, like in a long-term scenario? Like, how do you feel about it now?
Well, I think I think if you think you're going to lone wolf it and hunt and survive on your own, you got another thing coming. That's going to be, because like you were calling the animal in for me to get an opportunity to shoot it. Like, how much that, I don't even know how you do it by yourself. Could you?
It's you can, but it's
with a bow. Even it's like, but yeah,
in some ways, it's
so much harder.
It's easier to hunt by yourself in a lot of ways. But
see, I didn't.
But yeah, there are definitely some skills when you're a first time hunter. It's very valuable to hunt with somebody that's been, you know, and can show you the ropes. But
yeah,
like you said,
a lot of people hunt by
themselves. Sneak up on an animal when it's just you.
And then I think there's just the. I think you would learn a lot more about living out in the wilderness, you know, and how to sustain yourself and stay alive and things like that, more than you would just camping.
Well, just going back to, you know, the prepping aspect of it and how people are always say, well, yeah, you know, something goes down, I'm just going to go get my fishing pole. I'm going to go get my gun, and I'm going to go get all my food. The hard part about that is every redneck within 100 miles is doing the exact same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If something goes down. And so, I don't think that people can rely on it like they think they're going to be able to rely on it in that type of scenario, right?
I don't think so. Either.
I just don't think it's possible. There's going to be too many people out there pushing animals around, and I mean, you probably know when there's that many people pushing animals, are they harder to hunt or are they easier to hunt?
Absolutely, no. Right? They'll go nocturnal and only move at night, and yeah.
So I think too about like the people that don't hunt. you're going to have people that think they know how to hunt.
Yeah.
And then you're going to probably get shot.
They might start hunting you, right?
Yeah, well, that's a good get to that point. Yeah.
Yeah, and whether, I mean, the way I look at it from a, you know, a really like end of days situation is whether it's an elk or a deer or a rabbit, a lot of the principles are the same, right?
Sure.
You got to know how to.
True.
That's true. You got to know how to kill an animal, take care of the meat before it spoils. And frankly, it might even be a domestic animal. When was the last time you were forced to, you know, to know how to skin a sheep or a
horse?
A horse, maybe, potentially. I mean, I don't want to eat a horse, but I might have to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've eaten horse in Japan. It's actually pretty
tasty. Did you really eat horse in Japan? Yeah,
unknowingly, yes.
Oh, man.
Till I learned how to read the letters for horse.
And then I put
a ban on that. But no, I mean, all the skills are the same.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I can imagine the animal's fairly.
Yeah, hopefully we don't get to that point in society, but we could, you know, and if you've gutted an elk, you could gut a horse.
I mean, it's true.
So.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But it's, I think, you know, on top of whatever else you've done, like food-wise, it's going to be a great supplement to whatever that might be. You know what I mean? Obviously, the first thing we always talk about is have your water, have your food, have your medical supplies, and then, you know, you know gardening and raising chickens or whatever it might be. But this could be a great supplement to that. I just don't think it can be like what a lot of people say. So I'm just going to go and live in the woods, and I'm going to hunt deer, and I'm going to live there the rest of my life.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. You know? I just don't.
It's hard to burst your bubble.
Yes.
Whoever's listening.
So Cam, what tips do you have for beginners that want to go out and learn how to hunt now?
I think number one would be to practice.
Call Tyler.
Yes.
Right. And we'll leave his phone number. We'll leave his phone number in the show notes, guys.
Yeah. He has a great location. You guys probably feed yourself for a while.
Yeah.
But getting comfortable with your whatever you're using weapon-wise, like bow, like I could have shot, you know, I could have flung 200 more arrows to probably felt a little more comfortable.
Sure, yeah.
And knowing just how to use and adjust it. I mean, we took it in to have it adjusted, but knowing more about your weapon is one big thing. And then another thing is like, you know, what gear is going to make it a lot easier for you?
Yeah.
You know, a scope and then, you know, a range finder, things like that were things that I'll definitely own now because I could see the advantage. Obviously, you got to have binoculars and stuff like that. But I think getting comfortable with the gear is a big thing, and then understanding what it is you're hunting and your location.
Yeah.
How to even do it. So
I like that. So Tyler, as an avid hunter, as an old veteran grizzled hunter that's been out in the woods for a long time, what are your tips for people that want to learn how to do this for maybe a survival skill, or maybe just they want to start getting their own meat so they don't have to buy the hormone-laden beef at the at Walmart or whatever?
I think basically every state that I know of in the U.S. has hunting opportunities.
Yeah.
Right. And so a great place to start is identify, first of all, the rules and regulations, because there's rules and regulations.
There's many of them.
And the best place to do to get started with that is typically in most states you're required to take like a hunter's orientation or safety class. And that might sound, if you're an adult, it might sound a little intimidating. You're going to be sitting in there with a bunch of kids, but it's actually not the case. A lot of states have made it easier to get kind of that first certificate or whatever that you're safe to be out. But in that program, if the other states are a lot like Utah, they teach you a lot of the basic elements of how to identify good habitat to hunt, you know, how to process and, you know, how to field dress an animal, how to preserve the meat, those kinds of things, how to do it safely. That's a really good place to start. It's a lot more than just basic firearm safety.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's required in most states. And then from there, you know, start small.
Yeah.
Go out and harvest some bunnies or some squirrels or whatever, you know, whatever's available, and go through the whole process of harvesting and, you know, and field processing and prepping and cooking it and eating it. Every one of those elements can be really fun, actually. You know, I love experimenting with deer and elk, like just meat, just cooking it and playing with it. There's a lot of things that I still want to try in terms of cooking it and presenting it to people. And I love serving elk and deer meat to people who think they don't like it.
Yeah.
And maybe not telling them what it is and having them say, this is the best meat I've ever had in my life. And then telling them, well, that's
Yeah.
That's a deer backstrap, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so, there's just a lot of fun elements to it. There's, you know, whether you've hunted your whole life like me or not, there's really a lot of things that can be learned throughout a whole lifetime, you know? So.
Very cool. So, where can you guys find this film to watch? Watch Cameron go through the, you know, the whole process. I'm going to put the link into the show notes first. So if you guys want to go to wherever you're downloading this podcast, it's going to be in the show notes. We have it on our, you know, our Facebook. We actually, it's actually on the website too. It's on the front page. I think I've put it there. But you can go to, just Google Wild Air Films and then you'll see it's called The Rookie. If you just Google that, you're going to see it. It's all over the place. So, and you can go right to their YouTube channel and it's there. So, and Cam just looks sexy as all get out in the entire thing. So, you know what I mean? You're going to want to make sure you watch this. So you got anything else, guys, before we move on?
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Fantastic. Good. So, Cam, let's talk about survival boxes then.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Well, no. Well, you can do that now. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's do that.
Well, we thought, Tyler, since you were so kind to do some stuff to us, that we would give you a box full of
cool survival box and tack pack gear. So this is a little prepper.
Some gear that you might be able to throw in your truck or
just to.
Don't that one. He's gonna explain
you need
that
to
one.
Read
later.
What that one is.
He's gonna explain that one later.
All right. Cool.
But anyways, that's just
thank you guys.
Thanks, that's awesome. Thanks for taking us out hunting and teaching us.
Yeah, you know, that was an amazing experience.
Bunch of good stuff in there that I will absolutely use.
Mooey good stuff. Yeah. So
that you'll use with me this fall.
Yeah.
When we take you on,
I'm scared
real,
to go with you.
So Cam, let's talk about survival boxes real quick.
Yeah, so survival boxes are the only subscription box packed with all the essential survival supplies you need to prep for surviving disasters, emergencies, or your next outdoor adventure. Maybe a hunt. I don't know. There are many boxes, different boxes to choose from, so you can order the survival food, water, and gear required for your survival plan. Sign up today and get your survival boxes delivered to your doorstep every month. No contracts.
No contracts?
Cancel whenever you want.
When can I cancel?
Anytime you want. And there's no contracts.
No contract.
So use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off from your first box on any subscription box.
Where do I go?
Survivalboxes.com.
Oh my gosh, there. Jeez. You guys know how much we love survival boxes. Yeah. Get the Bravo box.
It's just an easy way to get food.
Yeah, you get survival food, you get gear.
Whatever you want.
Super cheap, and you'd be an idiot not to go do it.
You really would.
So, yeah, thanks Survival Boxes for that. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Cameron.
Yeah.
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
All right, so we're talking about hunting, so I thought I'd just throw in there some hunting things maybe to carry with you to keep yourself safe.
That's
what do you
idea.
Carry with you for, like, medical?
Duct tape, that's all you take, a little
for
roll
medical?
Of duct tape.
Yeah, probably.
I don't plan on getting hurt.
Probably not as much as I should, but I've definitely decided this past couple months that I'm going to carry a better survival kit. Actually, there was a guy that's pretty well-known bow hunter on YouTube. He stabbed himself in the leg with a broadhead.
That's freaky.
And he was several miles. This was just this past fall, several miles from a road. And it's just a good reminder for all of
die?
Us.
No, did he die?
He lived. He lived. He bled a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I need to definitely, you know, tourniquet stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously gauze. You could probably tell me everything else.
But that's what I just added in there. Some stuff that I think would be useful to carry as a hunter. Because, those broadheads are terrifying.
Like, they are,
I didn't realize
nasty.
How lethal they were. I was like, holy crap.
Yep.
They kill animals.
Even look at them, cut my lip.
Yeah.
So, there was a study done where they did two back-to-back fall hunt seasons. And they pulled hospital records, and they found, obviously, 98% of the patients were male that were hurt. But
is that something against boys? We're just so dumb.
I know.
Is that what that is?
I'm just saying they're dumb.
Yeah.
Age ranges from 10 to 78 years old. The mechanism of injury, number one, the most common were knife and arrow penetrations.
That sounds about
so
right.
Cuts and stabs.
Mm-hmm.
Second was firearm wounds, whether it be probably getting shot, but, you know, like
getting knocked
guns
in the head.
Explode and, you know. The other one was overexertion.
Oh, gosh. I was almost there.
Actually, that was nice. So
I think
falls,
you did that twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should have been there.
And falls. People that, misstep, fall out of tree stands, things like that.
Oh,
that was another really common one. and then just other hazards. But the so yeah, it's pretty obvious that knives, you know, cutting. When we were skinning, I was like super worried that I was going to cut myself. And you said that. I mean, you probably cut yourself.
Yeah,
I think it's just there's just, it's impossible that a lot of times you're cutting blind. Like I'm like, this kind of freaky. But so I wanted to mention just arrow penetration, because this was interesting.
I think that's the last time you ought to say penetration. It's like four times now.
Well, no, it's more. It's a common last term, one. Okay? So there's not a lot of studies on this, because obviously when arrows were used in war, that was a long time ago. And, but they really didn't even document a lot of stuff then. So a 2008 study from the Journal of Medicine didn't find there was any like perfect plan for management of arrow wounds, which really is pretty surprising. But I think it's just really complicated. The most obvious stuff is if you get hit by an arrow, somebody shoots you, you shoot yourself. First, you know, the ABCs of can you breathe? It's not, you know, if it's a wound in the chest or anything like that. Make sure they're stable. Don't pull it out. If it's deep, you can't see the broadhead. It could be enough to clot around, and you're not going to bleed out.
Yeah.
So you don't move it. Don't push it out. Don't push it through. Don't pull it back.
Don't pull it. Yeah. Put your foot on their chest.
So it's best. I mean, we always talk about like the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
If you've got to do it, good luck. Because there really isn't any. Obviously, you're not going to pull it back because it's going to rip everything out.
Yeah.
You got to push it through. But you want to just stabilize that arrow, you know, tape it so it's not wiggling around. Because if you do get a good clot around it, and if it's near a major artery, then you want that sucker to be as stable as possible and not move. You know, you'll see the shoulders bust it off and leave it in them. Just leave it alone and keep it in a way that it's not going to jostle around, because you don't know what you're next to. And then obviously if it's punctured the chest, you want to get a good seal around it, because you're gonna lose that negative pressure.
Credit card or something like that.
Right. Anything. And that's why I just wanted to mention a few things that I would carry. Obviously bandages that are good absorb bandages, because usually when you cut yourself with those knives, those skinning knives, you're going to bleed like a sieve. And if it's a gunshot wound or an arrow, you got a big hole to fill. So you want to have some good thick gauze, then ACE bandage, so you can wrap whatever, you know, a big 3-inch, 4-inch ACE bandage to secure either the arrow or keep a bandage in place. The other thing's tape, you know, any type of medical tape will work. A tourniquet, obviously, like you said, people lacerate their legs all the time with those broadheads.
That new one we got from BattleBox,
that was cool.
It's an easy tourniquet. It's just a clicker instead of like the
It's kind of cool. It looks like a
belt almost.
It does. And it just kind of, you just keep pulling and click it tighter and tighter.
So much easier than like the rubber kind with the.
And if you're by yourself, you want something that's going to be easy like that. Because, last thing you want to do is in the middle of trying to tie that and pass out.
Trying to look up on YouTube
then
how
you're
to use
dead.
A tourniquet. Yeah, you don't want that.
And then the other thing that's easy to carry, lightweight, like all the stuff's pretty light. I'm sure it wouldn't take up much space, is those chest seals, like the hyphen
chest seal.
Because still to this day, I mean, there's tons of injuries, people getting shot by other hunters or their firearm going off when they're, you know, packing it in or loading it. If you have that seal, it's going to get you a ton further, because it allows for the
pressure.
It seals, and it also will help leak, so you can still breathe. Because when you
breathing
you collapse
you
along
breathe.
The other one, you're filling full of blood. You want to be able to have an escape too. So it's kind of those little seals are pretty amazing. But anyway, that's what I would, the main things that I would carry.
And
I wouldn't go out of control.
Maybe.
I put sutures in there possibly. I mean,
they're pretty lightweight. You can just throw some
as long as you have something to keep that closed until you can find. But sutures are easy to throw in there.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway,
thank you.
You didn't.
That's your hunter kit.
You didn't mention super glue.
I didn't. Why didn't I mention that?
I don't know.
Super glue.
Super glue.
Yeah, you might as well throw
an arrow
in there. It's easy.
Super glue that hole, right?
Oh no!
Whatever you got to do.
Now my hands are glued together.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tyler, for being here. We appreciate that. Make sure to go watch The Rookie and see Cameron Harvest.
Hopefully you guys find some useful information from somebody that knows nothing in hunting and somebody that knows everything.
Yeah.
Not everything.
The whole gamut. All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.